President Donald Trump wants international help in the Strait of Hormuz. The vital checkpoint for oil and gas shipments out of the Persian Gulf has been mostly blocked by Iran, and the global economy is already feeling the impact. For those who would refuse Mr. Trump's call for assistance, he posted on social media over the weekend, "We will remember." But so far, the response has been tepid at best. Australia and Japan said no. The United Kingdom says it might send minesweepers to the Gulf. Germany's defense minister responded by saying, "This is not our war." So the waterway for 1/5 of the global supply of oil and gas remains closed. That's one of our top stories today. It's Tuesday, March 17th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Matthew Bell in Boston. First, today's curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Union workers at a beef packing plant in Colorado began striking Monday. Some 3,800 workers were involved in the first U.S. slaughterhouse walkout in more than 40 years. Employees did not accept a new contract proposed by Brazil's JBS, the world's largest meat packer, citing unfair labor practices, unsafe conditions, and low wages. This action occurs amid record-high beef prices, driven by the smallest cattle herd in 70 years, with ground beef now averaging $6.70 per pound. In early 2026, while grocery prices increased 3% overall, beef prices jumped 20%. Uganda's leading opposition leader has fled the country. Robert Kyagulanyi Ssentamu, better known as Bobi Wine, announced he had fled the country after 2 months of hiding. Mr. Wine alleged fraud after his loss in January's presidential election to strongman Yoweri Museveni, who has ruled Uganda for 4 decades. Since then, the pop star turned politician says he has feared for his life. Mr. Wine did not say where he had gone, but promised in a video posted to X that he would eventually return home. Also, major world cities made strides against air pollution. 19 of them, including Beijing, London, San Francisco, and Poland's capital Warsaw, showed reduced levels of fine particulates and nitrogen dioxide from 2010, according to Breathe Cities. That's a clean air initiative launched in 2023 by Bloomberg Philanthropies, the Clean Air Fund, and C40 Cities. All 19 saw reductions of more than 20% since 2010, The Guardian and others reported, with some reductions exceeding 40%. Reductions in coal-powered heating and a rise in electric transport were among factors cited. Now to today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or to our app for the latest news. Iran has shown it can do a lot of damage to U.S. and Israeli assets and regional allies in the Gulf with its missile and drone attacks. But one country is offering its deep experience on how to defend against these Iranian weapons, and that's Ukraine. Dominique Sogol reports from Basel, Switzerland, for The Monitor. President Donald Trump's appeal for assistance in reopening the Strait of Hormuz, the vital Persian Gulf shipping lane that Iran has closed, has received a cool reception from U.S. allies that feel mistreated and weren't consulted before Mr. Trump's decision to go to war. Howard LaFranchi reports for The Monitor. A leadership change is underway at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security at a critical time for the agency. Republicans are counting on Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, a former wrestler and plumbing business owner, to navigate pressures, including a loss of government funding. Sarah Matusik and Caitlin Babcock report from Washington for The Monitor. In the Senate, Democrats are in the minority, but they can stand in the way of the Save America Act. Republicans, despite pressure from President Donald Trump to pass the bill, don't appear likely to take advantage of the talking filibuster, even though some in their party are pushing to do so. Caitlin Babcock reports for The Monitor. In eastern Congo, economic insecurity and a violent conflict fueled by the resurgence of the M23 armed rebel group have racked the city of Goma. But children there have found a lifeline in dance. Contributors Paloma Ladette and Theodore DeCaros report from Goma, Congo, for The Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com/daily. Now, today's commentary from The Monitor's editorial board. It's about how the Iran war might shape a new world order. More than material weapons might sway the war in Iran, as both Washington and Tehran are finding out, allies that would come to your assistance probably prefer to first share your values and not just mutual interests. On Saturday, President Donald Trump put out a call to 7 countries to send ships to defend the vital oil shipping lanes in the Strait of Hormuz. The response has been largely halting, at best hesitant. The international uncertainty over the legal premise for the U.S.-Israeli attacks on Iran is probably a hindrance to those nations in risking their military to protect petroleum flows. "This is not our war. We did not start it," said Boris Pistorius, Germany's defense minister. For Iran, 2 of its most powerful partners, China and Russia, are largely playing a minor role in the conflict, focusing mainly on crisis management or diplomacy. In Gaza, Hamas has asked Iran not to attack its neighboring Gulf states, saying that the regional countries should cooperate to preserve the bonds of brotherhood. In Iraq, the pro-Iran Shiite militias are largely staying quiet, preferring to preserve their money-making enterprises. Only Hezbollah in Lebanon, a key part of Iran's axis of resistance, has again come to Iran's aid by attacking Israel, much to the regret of Lebanese citizens. In times of conflict, ties between nations that are based on trust, respect, and rules of conduct can help restore peace, not to mention prevent a war. Such partnerships, especially if codified into international law, thrive on transcendent principles with universal appeal, such as political freedom or religious values that teach compassion and forbearance. The thing to recognize about international law is when that it's most powerful, it's actually pretty invisible. It shapes what you consider to be the available options in ways that you don't really even notice because it's so fundamental. Una Hathaway of Yale Law School told the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, "Most countries are not invading their neighbors," she points out, a simple fact about global norms that receives very little attention in the news. Under the current Trump administration, the official National Strategy Report calls for realism, not cloud castle abstractions like the rules-based international order. In Iran, too, a revolution once based on Islamic principles 47 years ago has descended into regime survival, even to the point of killing thousands of Iranians during just 2 days of protests in January. The war in Iran could turn on how much either side adheres to practices widely accepted by humanity, or what Ms. Hathaway calls principles that people believe in. If you need allies, if you're fighting really dirty, you're going to have a much harder time getting other states to support you, she stated. The near collapse of the international order set up after World War II now requires a creative rethink, she suggests. The war in Iran could be the contest that helps define new rules in place of the ones now vanishing that would still be able to end wars and preserve peace. The The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find those stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we're conscious of God's presence, not letting ourselves get distracted, we're revitalized and healed. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton, Mackenzie Farkas, and Victoria Hoffman. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.